Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, everybody? Tanner Lee here, the Kicking Out Podcast, doing an earlier than normal live edition of the pod here on Sunday, October 5th, 2025. Happy October to everybody. Happy Halloween season to everybody that celebrates. But I kind of hinted last week on the show that if I was to do another solo pod and knew it in advance I was doing a solo pod on a Sunday, I'd probably be doing it earlier. That way, my wife and I can do something different during the night, something after dinner or whatever. So I was notified earlier today, Paul, our champion, our KOP predictions champion, that paper champion, Paul, if you will, he couldn't be on tonight. Yep, was 50-50, but probably more so 60-40 or 70-30 and not being able to be on. So I just told them both I'd be taking care of the pod again this week with a solo pod. So I wanted to log on here after watching my Denver Broncos come from behind and beat the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles by a score of 21-17. I'm still riding cloud nine off that win. So I need to cool down a little bit, think about something else, talk about something else. So I thought I'd hop on here and give you guys my thoughts on the latest happenings around the world of AEW this week and chat with you as we're heading into WrestleDream coming up here in about 2 weeks on the 18th. We will be doing our card subject to change, I should say, as always. We will be doing our AEW WrestleDream prediction show live on that Thursday night on the 16th. So 2 nights ahead of WrestleDream. So that's what's scheduled as of now. Like I said, it could change, but if it changes, that just means we're probably doing it the next night, that Friday night, the 17th. But right now, we're going to plan on doing it on the 16th on that Thursday night. So, and I'm told everybody's going to be in attendance for that one. And Paul, our paper champion, our KOP predictions champion, is supposed to be on next week, he says. So we'll see. So hopefully this is the last time for a while you guys have to watch me record or listen to me host a solo pod, but you guys know how I roll. I like getting you contents every week. I want to make sure somebody's on here breaking down some AEW with you and chatting some wrestling. So that's what I'm doing here for the next hour or so. Don't know if we'll hit an hour, but the next 45-50 minutes or so we'll be chatting about some wrestling. So it's been a fun week of AEW. Wednesday night was the 6th anniversary show of Dynamite. It's hard to believe AEW's been around 6 years, but yet also the first Dynamite that took place in October 2019 kind of almost feels like it's yesterday at the same time. It's really weird. It's been a crazy last 6 years, but a bunch of highs and some lows for AEW as a company. But I think they've been having a really stellar 2025. They've been finding their footing as what direction they want to head as a company. So I've enjoyed the content so far this year. But that was a great video package they did on Wednesday night, looking back at some of the memories on Dynamite over the years. And it was, you know, I was glad to see they included Cody, of course. Not a lot of Cody, as they shouldn't, since he's not part of the company anymore. But he's one of the founding fathers in the initial face of the company of AEW when it launched. So it was nice to see a couple moments in there featuring him, you know, shattering the glass and the second or third Dynamite ever when he punched the door. I think it was there in Pittsburgh when the Elite was trying to get at the Inner Circle. Then they showed his moonsault against Wardlow from Atlanta in 2020, which was a crazy moment. One shot of CM Punk when he teamed with Darby and Sting in the Trios match. That was cool. So glad they didn't ignore some of those guys who have been in the company at one time and are no longer present in the company. Featured those guys. Of course, the late, great Brody Lee, showing him. That was awesome. So, yeah, very, very cool. Very cool video package. AEW usually does video packages very well. And as for the Dynamite, I thought it was the best Dynamite they've had in the last month. I thought it was way better than the previous two. Way better than the one coming out of All Out, post All Out Dynamite. I thought this Dynamite really delivered. And I think this next upcoming, not only Dynamite, but Collision looks real strong on paper as well. I mean, kicked off, we saw Kyle Fletcher defending his TNT title against Orange Cassidy. Once again, I know I mentioned it last week, but it's good to see OC back. The Protostar and Freshly Squeezed put on a good match. Ended with some interference, which commentary tried to play it up like it was hologram interfering. But everybody could tell that it wasn't hologram interfering. And this did not kick off the show, by the way. I'll get to what kicked off the show. I got too ahead, far ahead of my notes. But anyways, I'll go ahead and cover the rest of this match since we're talking about it. But a guy that looked like hologram, had the hologram mask on, came out and pushed Orange Cassidy off the turnbuckle. And the Protostar ended up taking advantage and delivered a brainbuster on the turnbuckle for the win. But if anybody with the naked eye could tell, that was not hologram. It was, he had black and red tights on, and it was revealed after the match that it was El Clone, who we've been seeing teasers and of for the past month or so, that Hologram's clone was coming soon. So even though Hologram's out for the rest of 2025 with a knee injury, a legit knee injury, I'm glad they went ahead and debuted El Clone and they're not pushing it down the road any further. So that's nice to see. He's joining the Don Callis family, of course, which also got another member added to their family, which they have about a million members now. And we thought the NWO back in the day was watered down with members. But the Callis family on paper is not watered down. I mean, most of those guys can absolutely go. Now they need to start stacking up wins if they want to be credible and want to be viewed as a actual intimidating stable and not just a stable of a lot of potential. But yeah, like I said, they added another member as well. And that was after the opening match, which we saw Kenny Omega, Brodito, Bandito and Brody King, the AEW World Tag Team Champions, defeat the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander, who is a member of the Don Callis family. After we saw them be victorious after the match, we saw Kenny actually came face-to-face with the Bucks, which was a good moment. They were trying to talk a little bit, but then Josh Alexander took out Kenny with a kick and was raining down some hands on him. Young Bucks decided not to step in there. We hear Jurassic Express's music. They came out, and they came out very slowly. They weren't there to save Kenny. Remember, Jack Perry and Kenny still have some beef, and they kind of brought that up, which I'm glad they didn't just ignore that, even though it's been a long time ago. It was actually the end of 2024, which we saw Jack throw Kenny off the stretcher. But they took out the Young Bucks. They went after Young Bucks, took them out of the equation. So, and then Jack Perry came in and took out Josh Alexander, but he and Kenny were pushing each other a little bit, getting in each other's face. Like I said, I'm glad they didn't ignore that fact in the history there. That's a good thing AEW has been doing a lot lately, hitting on the history of things that happened, even if it happened 10, 11, 12, over a month, over a year ago, months or over a year ago. But Kenny then gets on, after everybody's out of the ring, gets on the microphone, starts doing his, I bid you adieu, good night and goodbye, bang. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of strange he's doing this, but cool. At the same time, you know, sixth year anniversary, Dynamite anniversary show. It's cool to have him do that in this spot. But I also thought in the back of my head, I wonder if somebody's going to come out. Well, right after Kenny was done doing that, lights go out. Excalibur tries to play it off as, we're having some power issues here in Hollywood, Florida. Lights come back on. There's a masked person appearing behind Kenny. And even I couldn't even figure out who it was. You see that? There's a person that's decently tall, has dark hair or in long hair. At first, I'm like, is that Big Bill? And I'm like, no, that's not Big Bill. That's too small to be Big Bill. And why would he have a mask on? The person takes off the mask, and it's revealed to be Andrade. Yes, that's right. Andrade, the same Andrade that left WWE back in 2021, debuted in AEW, left AEW at the end of 2023, debuted in the WWE just in 2024 and was released from the company just a few months ago in the summer. Yes, Andrade is back. He attacked Kenny Omega and shook hands with Don Callis. So he's also a new member of the Don Callis family. I like how this was done. And it's been reported Andrade has signed a multi-year deal with AEW. That was reported by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful. So he was a free agent. There was no 90-day non-compete or anything when he got released from the WWE. So, and he got released from the WWE for multiple wellness infractions. So he is back, and I got to be honest, I thought his re-debut, if you will, into the company was a lot better than his initial debut back in 2021 when he debuted with Vicky Guerrero. This was a lot better done, and I'm excited for the match, assuming we get this match at WrestleDream coming up in a couple weeks of him and Kenny Omega, because say what you want about Andrade and his behavior in companies and this and that, the guy can go in the ring. And AEW is trying to establish themselves as a company where the best wrestle. If we're talking about just wrestling in general, Andrade is one of the best in the world. So good to have him back in the company. I like that we're going to get him against Kenny, because that is a in wrestling lovers, a fantasy matchup for an in wrestling lover. And I like how they paired him with the Callis family. I know a lot of people were commenting that they didn't like that they put him in a faction, but the Callis family is constantly on TV. So that's one thing I think Andrade didn't like about his first run in AEW. He wasn't always featured on TV, and this will put him on TV constantly. So now, I mean, you look at the Don Callis family, got Andrade, got El Clone, which I just mentioned. So those are some guys with some, looks like some big storylines. You got Kyle Fletcher, who's the TNT champion. You got Okada, who's the unified champ. You got Takeshita, who's a powerhouse and looks like he's probably going to break free from within of the group one of these days. And he's going to be going against Okada eventually. And actually Takeshita and Okada are facing Brodito in a double jeopardy match this upcoming Wednesday night on Dynamite, which it's interesting scenarios on that, interesting stipulations, I should say, which if either one of Brodito, the members of Brodito gets the pin, they get a future shot at Okada's Unified Championship. Whereas if Okada or Takeshita win the match, they get a future shot at the World Tag Team titles. So you got all those guys. You also got Lance Archer in the group. You got Trent, who has been on the shelf with an arm injury, but they're trying to set up something that looks like Trent and Rocky Romero against Big Boom AJ. And they were trying to make it sound like Big Justice, but instead it'll probably be a mystery partner at Full Gear come November. They also got Trent and Rocky Romero in the group. Hechicero's in the group. The Walking Weapon, Josh Alexander's in the group. And you can't forget some of the guys on the shelf, right? Oh, Lance Archer's in the group, if I haven't already said him. And you can't forget guys on the shelf like Wardlow, who was just introduced into the group before he re-injured himself, and Brian Cage. So, I mean, talk about a lot of members, but a lot of heavy hitters there. So I'm all for it, or at least I'm willing to give it time and let it breathe and see what happens. And you know, one thing can be for certain, we're going to get a banger of a match between him and Kenny Omega when we get that match, assuming it's at WrestleDream or whenever we get it. It's going to be a hell of a match. We saw Adam Page and the Ops versus the Death Riders. Adam Page and the Ops got the win after Hangman delivered a dead eye to Claudio and the Buckshot Lariat. After the match, Samoa Joe got in Hangman's face for him not tagging him in, and also for dropping the belt when Hangman was trying to hand Samoa Joe the Trios title. It got dropped. So see security get in there before a massive brawl breaks out between those two. Hobbs is trying to calm him down. So later we find out Renee Paquette's backstage with Joe, or with Hangman. He's fired up. He offers Samoa Joe a shot at the world championship at WrestleDream, but tells Joe he'll be sorry if he tries for coming for him. Pretty much said he'll end his life if he tries coming for him. And later on, we got by Samoa Joe pretty much saying that they've had each other's back, but you know, now he's going to show him who the real Samoa Joe is coming after the world title. I didn't say that for verbatim, but yeah, interesting. You know, it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a fun little build It'll be a good challenger for Hangman. One I didn't see, and that's one I was saying last Sunday on the pods. Like, hopefully on Wednesday we find out a more clear direction of who Hangman's going to face next and going to defend his championship against next. And that's exactly what we got. It's going to be Samoa Joe. So these two have never faced each other one-on-one. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun, and I like it. I dig it. We saw Tony Storm versus Ty Mello. Tony Storm got the win. After the match, she grabbed a microphone, said she basically addressed losing the championship at All Out, and she wants Statlander one-on-one. She's not done with her yet. Statlander can name the time and the place, and we find out later that's going to be at WrestleDream. So that's your Women's World title match at WrestleDream, Tony Storm versus Chris Statlander one-on-one, which, once again, should be a fun one. WrestleDream, the card's shaping up already to look like a banger of a show, which, I mean, AEW pay-per-views always deliver. Let's be honest. Who are we kidding? We saw the Gates of Agony versus Lee Johnson and Blake Christian, Swirl, as they're called. Gates of Agony won. Ricochet was on commentary. After the match, Ricochet comes in, and they're taking care of the Swirl. But the Hurt Syndicate, his music hits. They come out on stage. MVP's pretty much saying he's pondering that if he's losing a step or two in the ring, he's not being the wrestler he once was, but he can fight. And he wants to fight in a six-man, no disqualification street fight on behalf of himself and the Gates of Ricochet accepts on behalf of himself and the Gates of Agony. So we're getting that this Wednesday night in the homecoming show from Daly's Place in Jacksonville. That's going to be a lot of fun there. So that's going to be a heck of a street fight, I think. So, we saw Maria Shafir and Wheeler Yuta versus Chris Statlander and Darby Allin in a mixed tornado tag team match. Love that they were open about it being a tornado tag and not just a regular tag, because we know how tag team matches work in AEW. And usually they're breaking the rules, getting in the ring at the same time anyways when they shouldn't be in there, and the referees don't do anything about it. So I'm glad it was stipulated ahead of time that was a mixed tornado tag match. No surprise, but Statlander and Allin get the win. After the match, Tony Storm makes her way down, stares down Statlander on the entrance ramp. They begin brawl to the back. Darby's lashing Wheeler Yuta across the spine with his belt. Pack attacks Darby from behind, firing stomps on him. Moxley and Claudio and Daniel Garcia make their way out. Pack chokes Allin with his belt. Moxley tells Darby he has no chance at doing what he needs to do to defeat him at WrestleDream. He says Allin will say the words "I quit" for the first time in his life at WrestleDream. Then Pack runs over, hits Darby with a clothesline, heck of a clothesline, turn him inside out, retreats through the crowd with the rest of the Death Riders as the show goes off the air. So I'm thinking of the card right now at WrestleDream. I think that has to be your main event. And I know I'm usually old school, and I've been outspoken about this on the pod many, many times. I'm usually old school when it comes to main eventing pay-per-views, or even if we were talking WWE main eventing PLEs, I like the world title matches to go on last in the main event and close out the shows. But in this scenario, with this long build, and what we already saw All Out with the casket match between Darby Allin and Jon Moxley, and this being an I Quit match, I think this has to close out the show at WrestleDream on October 18th in St. Louis. So I'm going against my traditionalist view of having the championship world title match close out a show and saying this I Quit match has gotta be what your show goes off the air with. So overall, thought it was a really good episode of Dynamite, especially for the 60th year anniversary of Dynamite episode. If we're going for a scale of 0 out of 10, I'm going to give it an 8.3. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Collision last night had some good things as well. We saw Tony Storm and Chris Statlander face-to-face. Don Callis family versus the Paragon and Orange Cassidy. We finally got some more interaction between Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic Matt Menard. The show opened with Death Riders versus Tommy Billington, Adam Priest, and Jay Lethal. Man, Adam Priest got thrown across the ring in one spot by Claudia, which was crazy. I saw the Death Riders win the match, of course. After the match, Daddy Magic screamed at Daniel Garcia. Garcia grabbed a mic and asked him if he could take a hint. Said he loved him, but he was a loser because Daddy Magic is a loser. He's with winners now. Garcia said if he stayed with him, he'd end up like him. And as he pointed to Nigel McGuinness, So it'll be interesting there. I don't know if that's a seed we're getting planted, a little seed there for potential Nigel versus DG Daniel Garcia match in the future or what. Good opening match and segment, I thought. Anna Jay faced Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter got the win there. So a bad week for TJ as far as wins and losses go. But they lost to, I mean, respectively, Anna Jay lost to Jamie Hayter. Ty Mello lost to Tony Storm. So he lost to two of the top women in the company. So it's all right. Sam Guevara and Roosh defeated Shane Stetson and Cha-Cha Charlie. Good to see Sammy on AEW television again. This was pretty much a squash match. We saw Drillistico get in the ring, and Eddie Kingston made his way down, accompanied by Hook. So the refs had to drag off Roosh while Sammy Guevara decided to join commentary, because we know the history there with Sammy and Eddie Kingston. Eddie won this match, no surprise. Just returned it all out. He and Hook are a new tag team. Eddie's a big name in the company. He's not going to lose to Drillistico. So Eddie wins that one. We saw the Don Callis family accept Eminem's open challenge. And we had it was Takeshita. And let's see here. Who else was in the match with Takeshita? Kyle Fletcher. So, yeah, Don Callis' family won this one. Yeah, I don't have much else to say about that. Kevin Knight versus Dax Harwood. Interesting one-on-one match here with the feud going on with Jet Speed and FTR. Kevin Knight with a big win. I like that. You had Stokely involved, Willow involved after the match. Stokely was poking Willow in the chest, but she low-blowed him. Dax had Stoke by the leg, so Willow couldn't pick him up. Megan Bang hit her in the back. Stoke threw powder in Knight's face. Megan Bang then took her down with a decapitator and Penelope Ford. Megan Bang, FTR, and Stoke all held their arms up in the air. So Statlander and Tony Storm had a face-to-face, like I said. But we saw the Triangle of Madness get involved here. They attacked both Tony Storm and Chris Statlander. Tekla grabbed a mic, said she's not finished with either of them. Says neither of them beat her. I like it. She's not wrong. Talking about All Out, the Fatal Four. Harley Cameron then attacked Tekla from behind. Julia Hart and Sky Blue attacked her. Tony and Chris sent the Triangle of Madness to the outside. So, and Majin says WTF. Hey, I hinted at it last week that if I had to do another solo pod coming up, and I knew in advance that I was going to be a solo pod, I was going to do it a lot earlier than 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So that's what happened. Paul has to work. Austin had something else going on, so he was 50-50 at best. I said I'd go ahead and knock it out. But next week, our paper champ Paul said that we'll be on the pod. So, and I know it's very early, but I was on cloud nine after the Broncos comeback win over the Eagles, hence why I'm wearing my Broncos gear still. And my wife was doing something for her work. So while she was going to be doing that, I thought better just take advantage of the time, the free time, and get on here and recap some stuff. So that's what I've been doing. I've gave my thoughts on Dynamite. Now giving my thoughts on Collision here and just chatting about whatever. Yeah, Jays. Yeah, the Yankees are in trouble. Yankees are in big trouble. Paragon and Orange Cassidy versus the Don Callis family. We saw the Paragon and Orange Cassidy win, of course. No surprise there. But we saw Kyle O'Reilly at the end of the show indicate that he wanted a TNT title shot, and we're getting that this Wednesday night on Dynamite. We're getting Kyle versus Kyle 2, which will be a lot of fun. I hope the crowd leans into it like they did last time with a bunch of Kyle chants. So I don't see Kyle O'Reilly defeating Kyle Fletcher for the TNT title by any means, but it's going to be fun in a different way to keep that storyline going with the Paragon and the Callis family. So, I mean, that's one thing you're going to have with so many people involved in the Callis family. You're going to have tons of different storylines going on that involve the Callis family. Majin, when are the Hoser is going to be back so you can do your tournament brackets for the women tag. It's funny you brought that up, Majin. I went ahead and just came up with 8 different teams I thought would be in the tournament. Now, we can take that a step further when one of them joined me in the next coming weeks, and we can actually bracket ourselves and do it that way. But here's the 8 teams I came up with if we're capping it at 8 teams for a tournament. TJ, of course, Tay Mello and Anna Jay. Triangle of Madness, take any 2 of those together. Personally, I would put Sky Blue and Julia Hart and have Tekla keep getting in this mix with Statlander and Tony Storm and more in the women's title mix, or maybe even the TBS title mix. But any combination of 2 of those 3 women would do. Penelope Ford and Megan Bang, that's obvious. Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa. Honestly, if I had to predict right now on October 5th, who I think will be the inaugural women's tag team title champions, I think it'd be those 2. I think it'd be fitting, and it would give Tony something to do other than just having the title or chasing the title. She can be put some focus on the tag division and establish that division right away and establish those titles. This is kind of maybe more of a makeshift team here, but they've teamed together before. Willow Nightingale and Queen Aminata. I'd put those 2 together. I'd put Athena and Billy Starks in this, even though they're more predominantly ROH. They are partners, so I think it'd be fun to put them in this. Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, of course. Get them both back on television. Perfect opportunity to do so with this tournament. And here's another makeshift tag team that I've always thought personally would be a real fun team to put together. But the problem is we haven't seen one of these talents on TV for at least a year. And that's Nyla Rose. And I would team her with Harley Cameron. With how entertaining those 2 are, could you imagine those 2 being a pairing? And just the vignettes and the promos we'd get with those 2 in the backstage segments? Sign me up. It'd be cheesy more times than not, but it'd be a fun cheesy. So I think those 2 would be great. I've thought that for a long time, though. Those 2 should be partners. But Maj said, I love Tony as much as the next guy, but he doesn't need to go from being women's champ to tag team champ. All right, that's fine. That's fine. I get what you're saying there. Who do you think would be the who do you think would be the perfect team then to be the inaugural AEW women's tag team champions? Maj also, speaking of titles, get ready for Mercedes to hold her 10th title soon. Why? WPW. Yeah, I saw that just before I came on here, that she's gunning for yet another title. And I know on Dynamite they were trying to tease maybe her and Harley Cameron together as a team. That'd be entertaining, given one's a babyface and one's a heel. I don't see that right now. And you were already saying, you know, as much as you love Tony, she doesn't need to go from being women's champ to tag champ. Well, we don't need Mercedes being a tag champ. She's got enough titles, and if she's gonna do anything after the TBS title, it'll be going for the women's world heavyweight title, not the tag team titles, in my opinion. Modern said TJ, they're the OG women's tag. That's true. Anna Jay has improved. Now she just needs the booking behind it. She's also been manifesting the tag team titles too. Yeah, they both got TV time this week. As I mentioned earlier, they both took L's, but they took L's to 2 of the top women in the company. Tay taking the loss to Toni Storm, and Anna taking the loss last night in Collision to the Jamie Hayter. So I don't hate that. I think need to start getting some wins before they can just run through the bracket. In my opinion, what do I want to say? Not capable, but more valued, I guess, as a strong team to be women's world champs. And Mon says she's got to win her 10th here in Winnipeg for WPW against Jody Threat, sadly. So it's just Ultimo Dragon levels here now with how many titles she's getting. She's not going to be able to, I mean, I don't even know if she could take a picture with all of them right now because she's got so many. I don't know where she'd put them all in her body. So, there's an end game to all this, but I don't know where it's at. Mon said, didn't watch Collision last night. I was at a concert. I'm not a good watcher of Collision. I wish I was better. I saw bits and pieces, saw highlights of what I didn't see. And then, of course, I had this rundown over here from the internet to fill me in on the rest when I've been recapping the show. But overall, it looked like a pretty good show. I think, of course, Dynamite was the stronger show. I gave Dynamite an 8.3 this week for the 60th year anniversary show. So, yeah, and what makes it worse is she ain't even half the talent Ultimo was. I know you like her, but come on, LOL. Oh, I think Ultimo Dragon is one of the more underrated talents of all time. I won't argue with you there. And I do like her. I also like to push Paul's buttons because I know he doesn't like her, but I do like Mercedes. I think she's very talented and is worthy of ultimately holding the TBS title for the longest reign in AEW history, which she's coming up upon Jade's previous record, which, you know, after she passes that, then I think we can really start looking and pondering, okay, when she got to lose this TBS title, and more importantly, who's going to take it off of her type of thing. We've talked a lot about tag team wrestling on this show, and I wanted to bring this up because I brought these guys up last week, even though I wasn't planning on it, just kind of, you know, with the flow of a podcast, which we're going live and we got comments and questions, things come up that you don't expect to come up. And last week I was talking about Matt and Jeff Hardy's time in AEW. And I bring that up because Jeff Hardy was in the news this week talking about their time in AEW. And the headline is, Jeff and I don't feel like we got the opportunities we should have in AEW. So, and this was on the I Love Wrestling podcast. The brothers reflected on their time in Jacksonville and commented on being proud of their recent run in TNA. It says, we don't feel like we got the opportunities we should have got, especially towards the end. And we just wanted to prove to ourselves that we were still very valuable. And I think that match proved how much value we had. The whole resurgence of TNA and the partnership with WWE and everything else. I mean, TNA's got a lot of great things going on right now. Jeff then expressed his gratitude for TNA, stating that he was going through a rough patch in his life a few years ago and feels that winning the titles with Matt was a moment of redemption for him. In my personal life, almost burning everything down in 2022 and ending everything, to win the titles again and to have that moment and that feeling with my brother was like, okay, I've rebuilt again, not to burn it down. So that was a great feeling as well. You know, I hit on this last week. I think that's what, unfortunately, made their run as lackluster as it was in AEW. And maybe why they didn't get the opportunities they should have was, unfortunately, because of Jeff's DUI in 2022. They were slated to win the tag team titles in that ladder match with the Bucks and Jurassic Express. And instead, they had a pivot, knowing Jeff was going to be out for a while. And Jurassic Express got the titles. So I don't think that's really fair. I mean, I know at the end they were trying to slowly turn to Hardy's heels, and then they just disappeared and went to TNA. But I mean, that could have been a little interesting, I think, because they were pretty stale after not getting those titles, which again, and Matt was always in weird things. I mean, when he joined the company in 2020, he was red hot as a broken Matt Hardy, but then the pandemic, you know, watered down his entrance at Daly's Place, but then he was with the Elite for the first Stadium Stampede match. But then he got into factions. He had the Hardy family office and the Hardy Andrade family office and all that crap. And then Jeff enters the company and just yada yada. I could go on and on. But I think, unfortunately, they were the cause of the lack of opportunities they got. So, And Majin hits on that. Man, if Jeff hadn't had his problems again and Bully hadn't signed onto WWE again, maybe we would have got the long-awaited CNC Wrestling Factory versus Dudley Boyz versus Hardy Boyz. Yeah, I agree, because D-Von's coming out of retirement for one more match as the Dudleys are going to face the Hardys in a tables match, a Bound for Glory for the TNA Tag Team titles. So, yeah, we probably could have got that one more time. Or if not the Dudleys, we could at least got Cope and Christian or Adam Copeland, as he's now referred to again on the AEW website, no more Cope. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage versus the Hardys, at least. But yeah, it was just too bad. Just too bad. I'm glad Jeff's got his life back on track now. I'm glad they're doing well in TNA. Don't get me wrong. I think it's only a matter of time before they get the NXT tag team titles eventually. So, but I don't know. To say all that, I got to respectfully disagree with what they said there. So, yeah, Yeah. Let's see what other AEW news and notes I can talk about a little bit here. Let's see what we got. The Hurt Syndicate came out and pretty much said they would be interested in getting their former tag team partner into the company with them, but they don't have that stroke. And I'm talking about Cedric Alexander. His name was escaping my mind a little bit, but MVP was pretty much saying they would love to have Cedric, but they don't do the hiring. That's a Tony Khan question. So they said in terms of adding a number member, that's something we've always been open to. One of the things that we've said consistently is because of who we are and how old we are, the thought of adding another member is usually adding someone who's younger and could benefit from the association with us that could be elevated by us. That's how Cedric came to be a part of us initially. They were also asked about adding a female, and he pretty much said the same thing. Like, they wouldn't be against it. It just has to be the right fit. So, Lee Moriarty needs something he could benefit. I agree. Yep. I like that. I would like Lee Moriarty more than Cedric, to be honest. Manjit, so for the women's tag with your bracket, who do you have finals coming down to? Well, I just named 8 teams. I didn't have a bracket. But let me just, off these 8 teams, let me pick 2 I would have in the finals. And I already said Tony and Mina, right? I think they would win it all. And I could be really off base there. So I'm going to have them in the finals. And with them being a face team, I think you got to have a heel team in there. So I would have Penelope Ford and Megan Bain. They've been a team for a majority of the year. They got that chemistry. Megan's a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse. So, and I think the titles could give them both a boost. I know you have TJ as your winners, Majin. So I guess in that case, I wouldn't mind seeing TJ and Penelope and Megan in the finals against each other. I think that'd be a fun heel team versus face team. Mega Bad is their name, apparently. Okay. I didn't catch on to that. Okay. Mancha, what is happening? Paul has agreed with me a bit. Shep has agreed with me a bit lately, and now you are too. Hey, maybe we're thinking Canadian lately or something. I don't know. You got a good wrestling brain. You got good ideas and thoughts, so that's probably why I'm agreeing with you. Now, when Shep agrees with you more times than once on the podcast, like he has the last time, a few times he's been on, then it's kind of getting scary. It's kind of like, whoa, is hell freezing over? What's going on? Paul, Paper Champion Paul, I mean, we haven't seen Paul since he's been the new KOP Predictions Champion. But according to Paul, he's going to be on next week's episode, and then he's for sure going to be on the Thursday night, October 16th show, and we do our Wrestle Dreams predictions. So hopefully he shows up, because he was calling me a paper champ. Jeez. So let's see, what else do we have in the world of AEW going on? What other news? Former AEW Women's World Champion Akira Shida announces when she's returning to the U.S. It's been 11 months since we've seen her on TV. She's had a lot of visa issues, but she tweeted recently, soaking in the hot springs at the airport, eating curry in the lounge, and fully prepared. See you later, Japan. I'm ready to go back to the U.S. So, yeah, her last match was against Chris Statlander on November 20th, 2024, on an episode of Dynamite. So it'd be good to get her back in the mix. And I thought about throwing her into my tag team bracket, but I don't know. I couldn't figure out who to pair her with. So I did not do that. Big Boom AJ, Big Justice set to make AEW Full Gear return 1 year after their debut. I hit on that earlier. We saw a thing on the social media. On AEW social media accounts, it's going to be Rocky Romero versus Trent against Big Boom AJ and a partner of his choice. I mean, he won a Big Justice, but they're like, we're not fighting a kid type thing, which is pretty funny. And Trent's been recovering from an arm injury, but he's been expected to be back in the next coming month. That's why they're teasing this match at Full Gear in Newark So, yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. What else we got? Well, Dave Meltzer, always making interesting comments. He said he thinks Rusev, as he's currently known as, formerly Miro, was among Tony Khan's most ill-spent money in terms of use of AEW money. He said, and I quote, "That was the most ill-spent money Tony Khan probably ever did, or among them. I shouldn't say the most, but among them, that was that one, because it's like this guy wouldn't do anything in AEW, and then he goes to WWE and he's putting over Dominic, you know. I mean, he wouldn't put over guys twice as good as Dominic in AEW." So a little shout of Dominic there too by Dave, which I don't know if that warranted that, but yeah. I don't know. I've never been the biggest Rusev or Miro fan, so is what it is. You know, Jack Perry commented on his return with Luchasaurus and how great it was getting that reaction from the fans. He also commented lately how the creative's been since he returned, a whole new experience after AEW return. And this was during a recent interview with the TV Insider. He said, and I quote, "I went to this film school for an 8-week program. The first time I had almost a year off, I wanted to film my own vignettes. I had a lot of ideas I wanted to do, so I painted part of my garage all black. I filmed this whole thing that was for me to debut for New Japan." Perry explained it allowed him to feel in control creatively as he gave off the vibe he always wanted to give off. "Later, for AEW, I filmed this thing with 9 TVs. I had to drive all over Los Angeles to find along with all this stuff. It was me and one of my buddies who filmed it." He plans to utilize his experience with vignettes to enhance Jurassic Express going forward. He said, "We just drove my bus with a coffin tied to the back of it down the street with sparks flying all over it. That's some of the most fun stuff I ever have got to do." He expressed, "It's cool to me now. I've carved out this thing where I can do this stuff." So he, like Darby, is real in the film. Of course, his dad, Luke Perry, is part of 90210. So yeah, he's into film a lot. So filming his own vignettes. And I think that's pretty cool. Logic comments here. TJ, Vendetta, Mega Bad, Triangles of Madness, Sky, and Julia Hart, Willow and Queen Aminata, Harley Cameron / Statlander, Alex Windsor and Fierce Phone, Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa are probably the teams I'd have. That's a stacked tag team bracket. I'm starting to think we'll probably get the bracket announced after WrestleDream. And maybe the tag team championship match of the bracket happens at Full Gear. I could see that. Tony usually likes to do the tournaments at the conclusion of the tournaments at pay-per-views, it seems like. So I could see that. Lots of ratings talk this week with Nielsen changing the rating system. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not a big ratings guy by any means. I think ratings are kind of overrated in the world we live in 2025 with all streaming options and everything. I don't put a lot of stake into that. So, yeah. And one last thing I want to hit on here. Ricochet compared his AEW run so far to WWE and says he was supposed to join another group. It's been a little over a year since Ricochet made his debut for All Elite Wrestling at AEW All in London 2024. And on the Ariel Helwani show, he was talking about this and he said, and I quote, "I was always supposed to turn heel. We had other plans with like another group. I don't want to give too much away. We had other plans before I even debuted. We had a trajectory of where I was going to go. But then like what happened, it was so good the way it was going that we stuck with Ricochet just being like a solo thing because it was just going so good." MVP recently revealed to Ricochet that he wanted him to join the Hurt Syndicate once they arrived in AEW in late 2024, but decided not to explore that option further due to what Ricochet was doing on his own. Ricochet explained that the plan was always to try and have good matches, showing the world that he could still compete at the highest level despite being 22 years into his career. With that said, Ricochet had always wanted to make a shift with his character where he was able to showcase more of his personality in that feels like he has been doing some of the best work of his career since joining AEW. And I quote, I think just honestly being free to things, being in, not that I was never free to try things in WWE. I was always free to try things, but also having, you know, the backing of where you work, helping you get to where you want to go along, I think helps a lot. That was worded really weird there on wrestlinginc.com. So I apologize if that sounded weird when I was reading it. But I think Ricochet's run in AEW has been really good so far compared to his WWE stuff. He could always go in the ring, but I thought his character work, his mic work was pretty stale in the WWE, and it's been real good in AEW so far over this past year. Mom said, ratings mean jack shit. You can have your shit ratings, yet we have a good or great show, AEW, or have a good yet slipping ratings and have a shit show, WWE. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. So, guys, thanks for joining me for this oddly timed late Sunday afternoon live edition of the Kicking Out podcast. But like I said, I always just want to make sure I get you guys content every week, whether it's me coming on live or me coming on, having already filmed something and scheduling something, or me recording something, getting up there on a different day than Sunday, or a show with just Shep and Paul, or myself and Paul, or myself and Shep, or those two and not me, whatever it is. I just always like to make sure we get you guys something every week. I apologize that I didn't announce anything earlier today, but like I said, I just kind of got the text when I did, and I'm like, and my wife started doing something for work. So I'm like, I got a little while so of some freedom before we eat dinner. So I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and jump on here and knock one out with all you guys. So, and Majin was playing NHL 26. So, no worries. Gaming's always fun. So appreciate y'all hanging out with me a little bit discussing AEW, and this upcoming week does look like a great episode. Let's go ahead and go over the cards real quick of Dynamite and Collision here. What would the date be for that'd be the 8th? Let's go ahead and look at the card for Homecoming, Daily's Place. Like I said, the TNT title match, Kyle 2, Kyle Fletcher defending against Kyle O'Reilly. We have a TBS Championship Open Challenge. So Mercedes against ? Got the double Jeopardy elimination match. I hit on that earlier. Brodito versus the Callis family, Okada and Takeshita, which if Don Callis family wins, they get a shot at the tag team titles. If Brodito wins, however, whoever gets the pinfall gets a shot at the AEW Unified title. We got a street fight versus the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP versus the Demand, Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. John Moxley versus Ishii. That's going to be a hard-hitting, violent match. And we also got Everyone is Banned from Ringside, Pac versus Orange Cassidy. And we're getting Jurassic Express back in action as the team for the first time since 2022 against mystery opponents for now. Collision, we're going to get Kota Ibushi versus the Walking Weapon, Josh Alexander. That's going to be a really hard-hitting match. We're getting a Ladies Trios match. We've got Chris Statlander, Timeless Toni Storm, and Harley Cameron. We'll see how they can all coexist versus the Triangle of Madness, Tekla, Julia Hart, Sky Blue. We've got another Trios match. This is a mixed Trios match here. We got Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, and Megan Bain versus Jet Speed Speedball, Mike Bailey, and Kevin Knight, and also Willow Nightingale. We're getting the Acclaimed, Max Caster, and Anthony Bowens versus Big Bill and Brian Keith. And we're also getting Eddie Kingston versus the Beast Mortos, and Tay Mello and Anna Jay versus ? So Maja, maybe you're on to something there. TJ's getting more TV time. Now they're getting a tag team match together versus surprise opponents, which you got to think that means they're going to get the W. So maybe you're onto something there. But on paper, the card for this week's upcoming Dynamite and this week's upcoming Collision, Homecoming, both taking place in Jacksonville at Daily's Place, looks awesome. And they're not the Acclaimed, according to Bowens. Well, I'm still going to call them the Acclaimed because, let's be honest, they're eventually going to get back and be the Acclaimed. So, which is interesting to say the least, whether you're on one side of the fence or the other. So, but I think that's all I got for now until next week. So once again, thanks for joining me, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. As always, like the Kicking Out Podcast and follow us on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. Make sure you're subscribed to our podcast on your favorite audio podcast platform. And if that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, hit that 5-star ratings and give us a review. We really appreciate it. That's an easy way to support our podcast without spending any of your money. But if you really want to spend some of your money and support our podcast, we'd really appreciate that too. And you can do that by buying some great merch and looking great while wearing it. And you can get some of our merch two different places. You can go to kickingoutshop.com, which we have t-shirts, we have drinkware, we have hoodies and zip ups. Starting to get cold out there a little bit. I mean, right now, not in Indiana, but it will be. So get yourself a new hoodie for the fall weather. If you're looking for just a t-shirt, we also have t-shirt options at Pro Wrestling Tees. Just type in Kicking Out Podcast over there. And all designs except the one you can only get on Pro Wrestling Tees. There's one design you can get on both Pro Wrestling Tees and Kicking Out Shop. But all the designs on Pro Wrestling Tees, the other ones that are on there, you can only get them on there. And you can follow all three of us on social media if you'd like. I'm at TannerLee92 on Instagram and on Twitter. Austin Shepard's at TheShep27. And that paper champion, our reigning defending, yet we haven't seen him defend it, KOP Predictions champion Paul Zartman's at Paul Zartman 8-2, I believe. 8-7, I don't even remember. 8-7, I think it is. 8-7, I'm almost sure. I can't even remember his handle. But like Majin's saying, be like him, follow everybody, but don't follow Shep. So hope everybody has a great week. And until next time, I'll be joining you when we kick out yet another podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.